So anyways, today we are kind of in an in-between week. We just finished up our series on money, and next week we're starting our series on Christians and culture and the series New Normal. And I wanted to talk to you just briefly about something that's been on my heart, that's about me, that's been annoying to me. It has to do with this word. We got a problem. It won't do that. Okay, can we reboot? Okay, we'll reboot because we're going to need a few screens later. So you'll see funny things happen, and we can just think, we're going to have a Windows moment today. One day we're going to be a Mac church, but today we're a Windows church. All right. So anyways, it's the word safe. S-A-F-E. I love the word safe. It feels so good. I want to be a safe person. I want to be a safe, a person that holds secrets well, a person that is trustworthy, a person that is dependable, a person that is safe. Safe is a big part of my prayer life, I've noticed. I pray with our girls when they're going to bed every night, and usually my prayer will be something like this: Dear God, please watch over Elizabeth and keep her tonight. Lord, thank you for the young woman that she's becoming. God, guard her, I pray. You don't need to pray fair when you're praying for your kids. I pray for safety. Or when Anita and is driving off in the car, especially if in the car with our girls, or often a lot of your kids as well, and I pray, God, guard over that car, because everything that matters to me is in that car. Keep it safe, please, God, keep it safe. I like the word safe. I want to be safe. I pray for safe, and thankfully, most of the time, I get what I pray for, most of the time. But I was listening to a passage a little while back in the book of Acts, and I was listening to the prayers that were being prayed in the early church, and their prayers are very different than my prayers, and that's kind of gotten under my skin, and I want to explore that just a little bit. Just indulge me a bit. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. I don't know if we're going to have anything on the screen, so I hope you brought your Bibles, or we've got extra Bibles over there and over there, and if you don't have a Bible, take it home with you. It's our gift to you. We love you. This book will wreck your life in a fantastic way. We want you to have a Bible. Anyway, so Acts chapter 4, and let me just set up this passage a little bit. So it's about 2 months after the resurrection. And especially, Peter and John have been emerging as leaders in the church. They've seen their rabbi, their teacher, they've seen him be crucified. They've seen him resurrected. They have just a few days previous had been through the experience of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and all sorts of things that they didn't really foresee. And people were starting to understand each other in languages they didn't speak, and all sorts of amazing stuff. And they ended up going to the temple one morning, and it just so happened they walked past a person that was begging, and that was a person that had been crippled from birth at least 40 years. And the guy asked them for money, and he said, "We don't have money, but we'll pray for you." And they prayed for him, and he got better. And so crowds started to pay attention to their message, and the officials started to pay attention to their message, the Sanhedrin. So they were called before the Sanhedrin. This is a whole lot worse than getting called to the principal's office, because they know what happens to people who get called before the Sanhedrin. They had seen it less than 2 months before that point. They've seen Jesus standing before the Sanhedrin, and they know this is probably not going to go very well. And so the Sanhedrin ordered them not to speak any longer in the name of Jesus. And then they let them go. And then we get to this passage, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. On their release, Peter and John went down to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders, that's the Sanhedrin, had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. This is the prayer they prayed in the early church. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, So Herod and Pontius Pilate, all these people, they stood up against Jesus. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now get this, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great, what's the word? Boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now pause just for a second. Because if this was me at that prayer meeting, I think I know what I'd be praying. I'd be praying, God, protect us. Protect us from the Sanhedrin. Because they're going to try to get us. So Lord, would you give us favor with the authorities? God, would you watch over those that are going out to preach and teach? Just, God, keep them from harm. That's what I would pray. Wouldn't you? I love safe. You probably do too. I love safe. And they don't. Okay, let's keep going for a second. Okay. And so, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In the face of tremendous political pressure, the early church showed boldness. And as you continue through the story, I mean, everything that you know was feared happened to them. These are people that lost their lives in the name of witnessing to what they had seen in the resurrection through Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus, I should say. And you know, today, you can't name any of the members of the Sanhedrin. We don't remember them one little bit. You can't name, other than possibly Herod, you can't name any of the Roman officials that everybody feared and knew. You can't name a one of them. Even the Caesars. I mean, we know we name our dogs Nero, maybe. But we name our sons Peter and Paul and John. And we build hospitals and universities and name cities after people that prayed this prayer. And so here's the thought that just bugs me about me, okay? I'm so safe. Oh, man, I want to be safe. I love safe. What makes people bold? And in thinking about this for the last little while, I've come to this conclusion. And I think I'm not going to go out too far of a theological limb here, but I think I know the answer. I think I know what makes people bold. Do you want to know? Okay, you ready for this one? God. God does. Who makes people bold? God does. Why were they so bold? They were bold because they had, in recent history, they had seen something that could not be explained by anything other than the power of God. In recent history, they had seen something that I cannot explain, how this guy that was hanging from a cross is walking today, is eating with me today, is talking to me today. I cannot explain that. I cannot explain how a person that had been crippled for 40 years is walking today. I cannot explain that. That made him bold. Can't explain that. God makes people bold. And so, why am I not bold? One of the reasons I believe, and this is what I want to do for the next couple minutes, and I think we're going to have a great time. You know, God's at work in the world. It's just really hard sometimes to pause and remember it. You know, because our danger now, I mean, we don't have Sanhedrin or, you know, for the most part, political officials trying to suppress and destroy the church, for the most part. Some of you may differ on that. But our greater challenge is just distraction. We have spiritual death by distraction. There's so many things, there's so many options, there's so much going on, there's so much other stuff that's trying to demand our attention. But you know, when we get down to these fundamental issues of what does it look like? Is the God stuff still happening? the whole like change and transformation on a level I cannot explain by any other means than God. Is that still happening? Because if it is, as we remember it and we look it squarely in the eye, I believe we're going to be bold. I really do. I want to do an interview today with somebody. Amber, would you come on up? In different services, we're going to be talking to some different folks. And now, Amber, we met just over a year ago, right? Yeah, come over here. All right. And don't mind all the flashy lights and stuff. These are, they really are pretty nice. Okay. Would you just tell us, like, so 2 years ago, describe your life. What was going on?
How specific do you want me to be?
You be as specific as you want, just maybe just in a few sentences. Okay. Describe who you were 2 years ago.
2 years ago, I was, I was a junkie. Okay. I relied on the world to make me happy, and I was lost, and I was hurt, and trying to reach out for anything and everything that could make me happy and find hope in life.
So what were some of the things that you were turning to 2 years ago?
Alcohol, drugs, sex, my brothers, my sister, and I wanted to help everybody by destroying everybody and making them as unhappy as I was.
And so what was going on in your home life then? What was happening? Mm-hmm.
Well, this is probably about the time that I had left my three children, and I had moved in with my brother into a motel room so that I could, partake in my selfish behavior.
Now, how are you different now than then?
Oh, wow. I have hope today. I have love today.
You have your kids today.
I have my kids. I have my daughter. And I see my boys and I talk to them all the time. I have a relationship with my family. And God has given me so many people in my life that cared. I found love. I found real, true, honest love. Yeah. Everything that I ever wanted in life, I found.
Yeah. And now, what happened between 2 years ago and today? Life then, life now. What happened?
I broke. I hit my bottom, and I got tired of hurting. You know, I don't know how I knew there was something bigger out there, but one day I walked into the door of Serve Wenatchee and somebody simply asked me, what's going on in your life? And those simple words broke me. And that day I went into a recovery house and I found hope for the first time in my life.
Yeah. Does that hope have a name?
God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Explain that. And so Amber is now a person that is, I mean, she's this amazing young woman, this amazing leader in the church. She oversees nursery ministry. She is teaching our children the Bible at K2. She's a mother to, I mean, you see JC around all the time, and a happy child.
Yes.
In a stable, loving home.
Yes. Yes.
Explain that. We just want to pray for you. Thanks for sharing your story. This is hard stuff. God, we just want to thank you for Amber, and we thank you for stories like hers. I mean, we all of us can probably relate to some way that our lives were changed by encountering you. We thank you for the young woman that she has become, this amazing leader in the church, this amazing mom. And And God, we know that that transformation, that happened when she turned her life over to you. And she said, Jesus, take the wheel. And you took her, and you made a brand new person of Amber, this beautiful, beautiful young woman. We thank you, God, that all the Jesus stuff, the God stuff, that it still happens today. And lives get changed when we proclaim the gospel and live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week, Columbia Grove will be 7 years old. Yeah. You know, 7 years ago, we had our very first worship service. In this space, we had about 25 people there. Who was there? Uh-huh. So you look around, and from that 25 or so people, we've grown to a church of about, you know, somewhere in a neighborhood of about 400 people involved in the church as a whole. We've seen more than 50 people be baptized. We've seen dozens and dozens of people come to faith and confess faith in Christ. And you know, and at every step, every little step, there's this point where you have to make this bold choice. You know, do we go and we reach out and we invite some people, and you know there's a challenge that you might look dumb. Or who here remembers when Columbia Grove only had one worship service on Sunday? Okay, so many people here, but if your hand isn't up, or if you're actually, put your hand up for a minute and just look around at the hands that aren't up. In the last year, we've grown by about 150 people because you, with your hands up, you made a bold move. And you said, you know, we're going to make room. We're going to make room for other people to worship in this place. And God moves as a result. The God stuff, it's still happening today. Lives are still getting changed. You know, the church is not a scout troop. The church is not a hospital guild. The church is not a chess club. The church is not a political party. Though all those things are wonderful. They're great. They're fine. And we are a human organization, kind of like all those things. But we are a human organization with a supernatural mission. There is no other entity in the world but the local church that is called to be the primary carrier of the gospel. Because this message of Jesus changes things. Changes people's lives from the inside out. And if we pause and look around and talk to each other a little bit, you will hear story after story after story of people's lives getting changed by the power of God, and you cannot explain that. And you know, as we get anchored in that afresh, I believe we get bold. When we draw that back into memory, Lord, there is something going on here that is bigger than me. There's something going on here that is bigger than I can understand. We are not messing around here, folks. We're having a lot of fun, I hope, but we are not messing around. This message of Jesus has the power to change people's lives. This message of Jesus has the power to make your next billion years happy instead of painful. This message of Jesus is, and we are called to carry that. So I hope this week you'll keep some cards in your pocket. Not that we're going to be pestering people or stalkerish or weird, but just that we would be bold. And say, God, I believe that you are giving me an opportunity this week to reach out in some way to somebody. And as you open that door, I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to be bold. Want us to close our worship service with something we don't normally do this way, but could be kind of cool, okay? Because we're kind of a church where, you know, we usually do like the, you know, extemporaneous, just sort of pray off the top of our head. I want us to try praying a prayer that might feel a little bit foreign. I want us to pray a Bible prayer. I want us to pray the prayer that the early church prayed, just to try it on for size. and see if some of that same God fire that ignited their hearts as they were mindful of the resurrection and they were mindful of the power of God in their midst, if that doesn't ignite us up a little bit too. I'd like you to, let's stand together and invite us we're going to pray through this prayer out loud a couple times. And so those of you that like to close your eyes when you're praying, it's going to be a little harder for you. Sorry about that. But you know, you can pray with your eyes open too. That's totally legitimate, all right? But I'd like us to pray this prayer together and just see if the Holy Spirit doesn't continue to light fires in our hearts, just like he did for Peter and for John and those other people that absolutely changed the world by carrying the message of the gospel. Let's see what happens. Let's pray together. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let's pray that one more time. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Amen.